Book of Exodus, chapter number 3. Very familiar scripture. Starting at verse number 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. That was a miracle right there. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight while the bush is not burned.
Yes.
And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see God, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. Verse number 5. And he said, Draw not nigh hither.
Yes.
Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereupon thou standest is holy ground.
Yes, God.
Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Amen. Thank you for standing here today for the reading of the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I'd like to talk to us for just a few moments about holy ground. Amen. About holy ground.
Yes.
Praise God. There is a place we can get in God, and it's a holy place, isn't it?
Right.
Amen. A place we get to God, and where God meets us, you know. Where's God meet us? I tell you, Brother George, he meets some of us in the church house. He meets some of us at our house. I've met him in the woods walking along an old logging road. Amen. I've met him in many places, multiple places. And that place where God meets us,
yes,
is hallowed ground. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Did you hear this bush? Amen. It burst into flame and it still was not destroyed. This mystery sparked the curiosity of Moses. So Moses goes over to try to figure out what's going on. Amen.
Bless you.
The life of Moses was quite spectacular. You know, I don't have time to get into the entire life of Moses, but he really felt like that he was going to be used of God to lead Israel up out of the land of Egypt in that house of bondage. They were down in Egypt and they were in the bondage. Amen. Of Pharaoh and
right.
God's people was in slavery, and Moses felt impelled, I think, in his flesh, if you will, of God to lead God's people out. But you know the story. He got in his stealth. He got in his flesh.
Yeah.
Amen. And upon that time, he slew a man. Praise God. You know what? It led Moses to the backside of the desert. Hallelujah. And that's what Scripture said. So here Moses was for the next 40 years, amen, of his life. That's a long time, Brother George. That's just I'm just a few years older than 40 years. So most of the entirety of my life, Moses spent in solitude, if you will. He spent back there herding these sheep, amen, back there doing the will of God, praise God. And let me tell you something. God's got a way of getting a hold of us.
Right,
amen.
Right,
if Moses had any kind of an inflamed ego, let me tell you something. 40 years got the ego out of the way. Praise God.
Yeah.
If Moses was puffed up in himself at all and thought he was something, let me tell you something. After 40 years, he lost all of that. Amen. Wow. God had a way of taking Moses down. Amen. But in saying, you know, we could preach about 5 or 10 minutes on all that. Amen. How that God got Moses in a place where Moses needed to be. And that's not my theme of what I want to preach here today. But I'd like to also tell you, God's got a way of getting your attention when he's ready to get a hold of you.
Oh,
amen.
Yes.
So here in this desert, amen, in the midst of this solitary place, in the midst of this place where he was all by himself, amen, God said, I'm ready to speak to Moses. Amen. I'm ready to get a hold of Moses, and I'm ready to use him to bring my children up out of the land of Egypt. Praise God. So God got a hold on Moses. Amen. And you know how he did it? He caused a bush to begin to burn in the midst of the wilderness.
Yep.
Here he is out there in this solitude place, in this desert place, in this dry place, amen. And here a bush began to burn, amen. Now, I'm not a very smart guy, and I have seen some things catch on fire, but everything that I've seen catch on fire, after a few minutes, it burns out. Praise God. Amen. Now, I'm from the time, and I probably shouldn't even say this. You almost get arrested saying this today. But I'm from a time back when I was growing up, we'd set an old tire in the midst of a brush pile. Amen. And set tire, brush pile, and all on fire. Amen. These kids today don't even know what a burning tire is. Amen. But I remember, great God, black smoke. Amen. But you know what? About 5 minutes, black smoke, tire, and all was gone. Amen. Hallelujah. And it burnt the brush quick too. Praise God. But here Moses was intrigued. He looked and he saw a bush. Amen. And that bush began to burn. Hallelujah. And in the midst of that burning, Brother Chris, the bush wasn't consumed. And it got a hold of Moses' attention. And Moses comes over there and he finds out, amen, and he finds out why the bush is burning. It's God. Amen. Moses has an encounter with God. Hallelujah. Amen. God's call for reverence is the most intriguing and fascinating. I want you to listen here. He demanded that Moses remove his sandals. Amen. And tread, amen, unshod in the presence of Jehovah God. Amen. Oh, yes. Why was this? Because this place was a holy place. Amen. Hallelujah. We teach in that, and when we tell our churches, I teach this, I believe this, that church really is a holy place, but when you come behind the podium up here, this is really a holy place. Amen. You ought to be living right, praise God, when you get up here behind this Bible stand. Hallelujah. And that's in every aspect of our life. We ought to talk right, walk right, dress right, act right. Amen. When you get up here and you sing, you play instruments, you preach to God, anything you do in the service of the Lord up here, this is a holy place. Amen. Oh, yes. And you ought to be living right in order to do so. Amen. But also here, Moses got in the presence of God. And God began to talk to Moses. And he said, Moses, take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. Amen. It wasn't uncommon in those days. Slaves didn't wear shoes. It wasn't uncommon in those days, amen, for folks not to have shoes on. The uncommonality of it all was, this was common ground. This was just sand. This was just wilderness. This was just a place where nobody was. Amen. But oh, I'm about to feel the Holy Ghost here. Amen. But when God showed up, he said, Moses, now you're on holy ground. Take your shoes off. What made that place holy? I tell you what made it holy. God showed up. Amen. Jehovah Jireh, amen, the one and only true God showed up and made that place become holy. Hallelujah. I don't know about you here today, but I would to God that God would show up. I would to God that the Holy Ghost would get in the midst and have his way, amen, today in this place. By the time he got the call around the church, maybe some folks might not understand that, but that's a holy act. Amen, saying, Lord, I'm humble myself. What would you have me to do? I'd like to see a few more of you get out and crawl. Amen. I'd like to get out and crawl. I'd like to. Amen. One time I was in a church service and something told me to roll. Amen. I was just a little bit proud and I didn't really want to do it. And others stepped out and God got the blessing of moving. And I said, Lord, nudge on me again. I'd like to roll. And it wasn't for several more services. Amen. He finally nudged on me again to get out that floor and roll. And I tell you, he didn't have to beg me that time. I got in the floor and rolled. And how the Lord blessed me. That's where Moses was. He was in a place of humility. 40 years, amen, all by himself. 40 years of not being in the presence of God. Moses was glad God showed up. Moses was glad that God came by to talk to him. I come to tell his church, we need a holy place. We need an encounter with God. And we need God to show up and speak to us. Amen.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
We need the Lord, don't we, church?
Holy.
We need him to show up. Here's one thing I know about God. I know God will speak to his people.
Yes, sir.
I know that much about God.
Oh, God.
I don't have any way really to show you and paint you a picture in just a few minutes on how long 40 years is. But 40 years is a long time.
Yes, it is.
Can you imagine, Brother George? First year, second year, third year, fourth year, fifth year. Moses out there just tending the sheep. Moses just out there. I think I missed my opportunity. Moses out there. Oh, if God would ever, if he had ever just given 40 years of waiting on God. 40 years of trying to get an answer. 40 years, brother. Amen, Anthony. That's a long time. But guess what? 40 years and God showed up in the burning bush. Hallelujah. I ain't got time to preach all that. What is that burning bush? I tell you, the Bible said that God is a consuming fire. Hallelujah. That bush represented the power of God. I believe that bush also represents the power of the church. How is that? Because the church has been persecuted. Amen. The enemy's tried to tear it down. The enemy's come against it. The devil's tried to tear down the church. But great God, the fires of the enemy's come on it. Amen. How many churches has it been through scandals and people lie on the preacher and people lie on people in the church, people lie on the church? Amen. Churches have been fought, but I come to tell you today, the church is still like a fire. It's still burning. It's still going. God's still moving. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house to tell you, my God is a fire, and he's a consuming fire, and he will be a fire. And the church will go on, and God will remain powerful, and revival will happen. Amen. And God will be a fire. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Yes. Woo.
Hallelujah.
Holy, holy God.
Come on. Bless you.
Amen.
Bless you.
That's also represented under the Word of God.
That's sir.
I preached so many times down through the years on the preservation of God's Word.
Yes.
Amen. What was his name? Voltaire said, amen, said, I'm going to do away with the Word of God. I'm going to find every Bible in the known world, and I'm going to burn it, and I'm going to do away with it. He said, and then what did he say? 50 years or 100 years, nobody will know, amen, what the Bible even was. But in 50 or 100, how many years it was, he said, nobody knew who Voltaire, amen, was. But rather, the Word of God is still being mass-produced. The Word of God is still more powerful today than it is. The Word of God is still the number one selling book. Why? Because it's a fire. I said it's a consuming fire. And God's Word is going to go forth until the day Jesus comes back. You can't shut the Word of God up. You can't shut the church up. And you can't close the hand of God. I come to tell us in this place, church, amen, you better take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. That's what he told Moses. That place where God spoke, that place where God showed up, is a place of holy ground. Amen.
Yes, God.
Amen. Oh, Jesus. Hey, Lord.
Amen. You know, people do a lot of things, you know. Holy. They, I heard my uncle years ago, my uncle told us about it. He might even have a tape. I can't remember. He's done a lot of precarious things. This what time I was, you know, I moved out when I was 18. I've been living on my own since I was 18 years old. And but there was a church one time, Bill Tommy, that had a good pastor and had a good man. But that man died, and he had a good church. And that man died, and they never got him another pastor. They would just get tapes of that dead man and play them. They'd come to church, and I guess they sang a few songs, and when they got time to preach, they'd get tapes and put in, and everybody sit there and listen to that old dead pastor preach. And he was a good man in his time.
Yeah.
And God used him in his time. But that church began to die. Hallelujah. Why? Because we need a fresh word from a fresh God today. Hallelujah. Oh, amen. We don't need a famine of the Word of God, do we? Hallelujah. Hey, I tell you, there is a famine of the Word of God. Amen. Filling pulpits and filling churches today. Men and women, they don't want to hear God. Men, amen, and women, they don't want to listen to God. Men and women, they don't want to get in the presence of God so that God can speak to us and through us. Oh, I pray to God today. I'll shut this Bible up. I'll close my notes down. God, would you just speak through me? God, would you just speak to me? God, would you just use
used. I want to hear from God. I want to get in a holy place. I want to get on holy ground and be used by the Holy God. Amen.
Well, needless to say, that old church dried up and died.
Yep.
Because they was listening to sermons from a dead man.
Yes, God. Glory, glory. Yes, God.
I've heard of people.
Bless you, man.
I've heard of people who go to the Holy Land.
Come on.
And they'll bring back rocks.
Yeah.
I forget one guy I like to read a lot after. He said his son said, Dad, when you go over there, bring me back. I forget how many, want a certain number of rocks from the Holy Land. It's a wonder they ain't rocks left over. They've carried them all out through the years, probably.
Yeah.
Why was that place holy? Now, I don't want you to hear something I'm not saying. Amen. I'm not saying it ain't a holy place. But what I'm saying was, God met there at one time. Amen. And it was a holy place.
Right.
But great God, He's not there right now. Amen. Amen. Maybe somewhere out in the middle of nowhere in the wilderness, if they would have found out where Moses met God, they'd have built a tabernacle out there. Amen. They say this is a holy place. It was a holy place. But God ain't here at the moment, amen. I tell you, that's why we need a church. That's why we need a Bible. That's why we need a godly man to preach to us. We need God today. I need Him tomorrow, Brother George. When I wake up in the morning, I need Him again. I come to take church. We need to be on holy ground. Amen. What does holy ground mean? It means in the presence of God.
Yes, God.
Yes, Lord.
Woo!
My Uncle Larry's dad was named Bill Stevens. And old man Bill said if the church house was the only place that I could ever feel God, I'd pack my bags and I'd move in. Amen. Let me tell you something, church, you can feel God at the house. You can feel God. I've been on a job and felt God. Woo! I've been hunting in the woods and felt God. I've been driving down the road and felt God, raising my hands and praising. And sing that song, Jesus, Take the Wheel. That's just a joke. Hey, I said, get me in the car and feel the presence. Hey, amen. I said, that's a holy place when I can get in the presence of God. That's a holy place when God will show up and meet His people.
Hallelujah.
Oh, they'll pay a lot of money. From water out of the Jordan River.
Thank you.
Woo! Flowers from Bethlehem.
Yes, God.
Rocks from the Holy Land. But oh, amen, what makes something holy is not what had been done there in the past, but what makes something holy is God there right now. Is this a holy church? Is God in our midst? Is God in our presence? Hey, we'll die up and die. Thank God if we had Him yesterday. Thank God if we had Him 40 years ago. But we got to have Him today. And we got to have Him tomorrow. We got to have holy ground.
Amen. Come on.
Amen.
Come on.
Oh, God.
Woo. Holy, holy, holy.
There's only two places that I know of.
I'll have your way.
And my quick search back there earlier, it talked about holy ground, and the third place referred to holy ground. Amen. Of course, right here in our text today, this mount where Moses met God. And God said, Moses, take your shoes off. This is holy ground. And Joshua in the moonlight near Jericho, he was told he was on holy ground. And God told Joshua to take his shoes off. Joshua 5:15. I looked it up a while ago. Read it. Amen. He told Joshua to take his shoes off.
Yeah.
He was on holy ground.
Yeah.
Amen. But if you remember, Jacob had a great experience with God in a place called Bethel.
Yeah.
And there at Bethel, Jacob met God. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, yes, I believe Jacob met God.
Woo.
I know the Bible said an angel. I said this in the past. I believe Jacob got a hold of God.
Right.
Amen. And he referred to that place as a holy place. God never told him, this is a holy place to take your shoes off like He did Joshua and like He did Moses. But God met Jacob there. And Jacob piled up a great stone, a great heap of stones. Amen. And he called that place Bethel. Amen. And this is where I met God. Hallelujah. Hey! I like to let you know today, you can meet God. You can get in His presence. You can have a Jericho experience. You can have a Mount Horeb experience. Amen. You can have a Mount Sinai experience. You can somebody. You need to learn to get on holy ground.
Have you
Hey,
have you
I ain't been meeting whatsoever, but I don't know. I don't think I'm a perfect dad by no means, but I have learned a lot through the years. And Brother George, I have learned how kids learn is through struggle.
Come on.
Yes, God.
And you can't do everything for them.
No.
Poor old Hudson, he finally learned to tie his shoes. But you know why he couldn't tie his shoes? Because he got a bunch of big sisters that tied them for him all his life. Amen? And he runs around, and they finally taught him how to tie them a little bit. He can tie them a little bit, but he don't tie them good. And they come untied, he said, Dad, tie my shoe. I said, no. As much as I'd like to tie them for him, if I keep tying them for him, he'll be 21 years old, and get married one day and ask his wife to tie his shoes. I said, man, hey, God, struggle. Amen? It's where strength comes in. You got to learn struggle if you want some strength. Jacob struggled, but he met God, and he got strength at Bethel. Hallelujah. Well, I tell us here today, amen. Moses got strength, amen, out there in the wilderness, but he struggled for 40 years. The first time he failed, the first time he murdered a man, the first time he thought, well, I can do this on my own. It took 40 years to get Moses strengthened. It took 40 years to get Moses ready to do the work of God. And 40 years of struggle brought forth a strong Moses. I come to tell us there's strength in the struggle. There's strength and power gonna come in a midnight. I feel the Holy Ghost to tell somebody, hang on, God's just strengthening you. Hang on, God's getting you ready. Amen. Strengthening you in the struggle.
Yes, God.
Bless you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Raise your hand and ask God to help me today. Lord, help me. Lord, help me.
Hey, Lord. Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
Touch God.
Dr. Molina, he's a baby doctor in town. Dottie knows him well. But I was working for him the other day, and he said he just got out from Italy. And we got to talk about it. You know, a lot of people go to Italy. And he's talking about how beautiful it was. And I like to listen about it, so I was listening to him. You know, he's telling me everywhere he went. He said, we went to an island. He said, an island down off the coast of Italy called Malta. He was telling me, you know. I said, oh, yeah. I didn't know how much he knew about the Bible. I said, if my memory serves me right, if that's the same island, amen. I said, the Bible said Paul got shipwrecked and he got stranded and he ended up on an island called, we always call it Malta. He called it Malta. I said, I think that's the island Paul ended up on. His eyes brightened up.
Yeah.
And he said that island has got all kinds of history, you know, a little side. Paul was here, and here's where Paul was, and right here's where Paul built the fire. Amen. He should have been out there belly aching, grumping. Paul could have been out there saying, Lord, why did you allow me to go through the storm? God, why did you allow the ship to be wrecked and us to be, amen, floating on boards? But you know what? When Paul got on that island, the Bible said Paul went gathering up sticks, amen, to build a fire because they were cold. And in so doing, a viper grabbed hold of his arm. And those on the island said that Paul should have swollen up. A viper swells you up and you die within a matter of minutes. Amen. And the Bible said that Paul shook that viper off in the fire. Woo! Man, I feel the Holy Ghost to tell somebody, what made that fire that was meant to kill you? What made that fire that was meant to destroy you? It's going to be used to destroy the viper. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost to tell somebody, hey, Paul, you should have died. Paul, you should have made it. But great God, God gave you strength in the struggle.
Let's go.
He should have swollen up and died.
Shoot.
But he shook it off in the fire.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And the Bible said that the viper did him no harm.
No harm.
They said old brother Rick Simpson went to one of the snake handling churches down in Kentucky one time. And he got up and sang, and guess what he sang? He sang that song. No harm, no harm have I forgiven, no harm. If I ever go to one, I'm going to try to sing it.
Hey, great God in heaven, hey, I come to tell you, the enemy's out to kill you. The enemy's out to steal and destroy. But great God, I come to tell you, Moses, it's been 40 years, but God's going to show up. It's been a long, dark night, but God's going to show up. It's been terrible. You should have died. You should have lost your mind. But God said, there's going to come a holy ground. There's going to come a place where you meet God.
Yes, God.
Raise your hand, Larry. I've got a lot more, but I'll be making. I'm making on what to do here. Oh God, would you help somebody in this house? Lord, that's my only desire. Holy ground is where God meets man.
Raise your Lord.
Ground is actually holy. Amen. You say, well, you know, if a place is holy because God's there, God's everywhere. I believe that.
Yes, sir.
I believe God's in this building today.
Amen. Yes.
And so that means if God shows up in this building, this is a holy place. Wow. I believe God is when you open that door up. Jackson Avenue runs up and down out there. I believe God's out there on Jackson Avenue. I really do.
Yes, sir.
Amen. There's some folks out there ain't met him quite yet, but I believe he's there. Woo. But, oh, I'm talking about that intimate place.
Yes, God.
Where you knew you met God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh.
Yes,
God. Now, my home church where I grew up, they're in a brand new church. It's a beautiful church. I mean, it ain't much bigger than this, but you're talking about beauty. It's just wonderful. You'd have to see it. Amen. It's been a lot of time and a lot of money. Amen. My Uncle Larry's a woodworker, and he's got shadow boxes and woodwork. You should just see it. It's a beautiful place. Hey, but I got thinking back here a while ago before church started, and I don't mean this mean whatsoever, but that brand new church that declares not where I met God at. I met God at that little rickety church down there sitting about this far from the road. Amen. And I love that beautiful church. I don't want you to think I don't. If God would give us the beautiful church, I'd be thankful for it. I'm not saying none of that. But what I'm saying is, Brother George, I met him in that little old church that when I was a boy, don't laugh at me, but when I was a boy, we went out way out the corner of the parking lot and used the outhouse. Amen. That's where I met God at, on the back corner of that church about where Sister Claire is. That's where I met God. Amen. On the back corner of that church as a 13-year-old boy, I met God in the back of that rickety church that's got underpinning around it. Amen. That didn't have a back room until 20 or 25 years ago. Hey, that's where I'm at. That's my holy place. That's where I met the Lord. I come to tell us in this house today, God, I feel like telling you, God said, hang on. In the midst of the struggle, in the midst of the torment, I'm going to meet you, and I'm going to show up, and it'll be a holy place. Man, approaches such a meeting with reverence and with both an open ear and an open heart when he knows God's there.
Jesus. Oh, God.
Brother George, if God come in this place today and we seen a burning bush, we'd all fall on our hands and knees.
Oh, Lord.
Say, speak to us, Lord.
Come on.
Yes.
Speak to us.
Come on.
Yes, God. You want to picture yourself here under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, we're not that humble.
Come on, bro.
And is God speaking to us?
Come on.
God can send somebody by to talk to us. And God can send somebody by to speak to us. But we don't hear it, amen? Because we're looking for a burning bush. I'd like to also tell you today, don't, amen, miss out on the burning bush. Because every time God speaks, ain't in a literal burning bush. Hey! God's got a way of talking to you, and God's got a way of telling you what he needs you to hear. But you got to be spiritual enough to hear what God's saying.
That's God.
Come on. Come on. Holy, 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 holy.
We got it here in church.
Amen.
Any spot on earth can be holy ground. Amen. A waste mountain can be transformed into a mount of God. A hard pillow in a rock, forsaken area can become the gateway to heaven. Sand, amen, can be a holy place, and you got to take your shoes off because you're on holy ground.
That's God.
Oh, yes. I come to tell you here today, amen, I want to meet God,
yes, God,
in the holy place.
Yes.
I'm done. Amen. I know it's early yet. Great God. But I feel like, amen, telling somebody in this house, anybody need God to speak to you? Let me be the first one to put my hand up. I need God to speak to me. I need God to talk to old Jason. Anybody in here need God to talk to you? I got good news for you. Amen. God will. But I tell you what you got to do. You got to humble yourself. You got to get serious with God. You got to find a place and pray and seek God. I'm just a man to tell you that God said, you get serious with me and I'll get serious with you. You really get down to business with God, and God will get down to business with you.
Yes, he will, brother. Amen.
Yes, he will.
Thank you, Lord.
Holy, 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 holy God.
Hallelujah.
Lord.
I don't want to be so stubborn that it takes me 40 years to hear God.
Lord.
I don't want to be so set in my ways that it takes me 40 years for God to talk to me.
Oh, God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, God.
Holy, holy, holy Lord God.
I know, no doubt, in Moses' situation, there was a lot of stake timing. Sometimes that ain't God's time. Israel probably wasn't quite ready yet 40 years before that.
Yeah. Right.
But it took them a little while longer being in bondage. It took them a little while longer carrying the brick. It took them a little while longer being slaves.
That's it.
Israel had to get ready too.
That's
right. All I'm telling you is, God's got a lot of things working that you don't even know about.
Amen.
That's a truth. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Did you hear me?
Praise God.
I just said something profound and you didn't get that.
Right.
God's got a lot of pieces of the puzzle moving and you don't even know about it.
Holy, 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 holy.
Give me the God. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, God.
Thank you, Lord.
I said God's got pieces working right now. God's got.
You see that motor out there in your truck? I never really was one to understand all the components. It's fascinating, Brother George, how a motor has got 8 cylinders, 6 of them's got 6 of them, some got 4 nowadays, some ain't got none, they got electric battery operation. But anyway, inside that truck, Brother Tommy, we don't see it. There's 1,000 parts.
Right.
You got that, I guess you got that main cog going this way, and you got your transmission going that way. And that motor turns that transmission goes back and finally turns the axle on wheels. I know that's a very basic explanation.
Come on, come on.
Thank you, Lord.
God.
Amen. But what I'm trying to say is there's a whole lot of parts moving to that truck that you don't know nothing about. All you know is you push a gas and the thing moves.
That's it. Holy God.
I come to tell you, God, got the parts moving right now.
Glory, glory.
Got the parts moving right now.
Thank you, buddy.
Praise God.
Hold on,
Yea, I say stand back and watch me work. Yea, I say unto thee this night, I see thy tears in the midnight hour. Yea, I say I've watched them flow down your face, and I say, there will be a holy place, saith God. I will show up and speak to you, saith God. I see thee in thy hour. I say unto thee, this night I will work for you. Yea, I say I will raise you up. And when you look back on it, you'll say, only God could have done such things as this.
Yes, Lord.
Saith God this day. Raise your hand, church. Stand with us across this house. I got more to say, but God's done in this place.
Yay, Lord.
Lord, won't you raise your hand in reverence to the church? Well, why don't we be in reverence to the Spirit of God here today? And I praise your holy name.
Praise.
I praise your holy name, God. I praise your holy name. I reverence you, Lord. Oh, I reverence you, God. I'm humble before your face. I'm humble before you, Lord.
Holy, holy, God.
You do what you feel like doing. If you want to sit back there and go ahead and sit down and don't get nothing from God, you do that. But if you want something from God, I urge you to get up here.
Yes,
I urge you to get up here. I don't know if you want to bend the knee and get in this altar. I don't know if you want to get up here and stand and raise your hand and begin to praise Him and say, God, I'm waiting on that. Lord, I'm waiting on your promise. I'm waiting on you to speak to me. I'm waiting on you, God, to show up. Amen. I'm done. And these altars are open. What are you going to do with what God spoke to you here today? What are you going to do with what God has given us in this house today? What are we going to do with it?
Oh, God.
What are we going to do?
Oh, God. Thank you for your blessing with us today, God. Yes, Brother Jason and brother. Yes, God. I thank you.
Holy, my Lord. Moses, take your shoes off.
For this place is holy.
Get in the presence of God. Get in tune with God. Get in the place where God is. And it'll be a holy place.
One day, Lord,
oh, I need you, Lord.
We'll have, Lord.
Thank you, God, for speaking
Lord,
to us.
We'll hold true.
Thank you, God, for being real to us here today. Thank you, Lord. God, that you're so mindful to us. You show up on a Sunday afternoon and meet us in this house. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for this body of believers that's got these altars full. Lord, for these in these pews that's got their hearts poured out to you right now. Come on. Pour out to him. Pour yourself out to him here. Pour your heart to him. Pour your spirit to him. Pour everything you got in your being to him. Lord, here I am, God. Would you talk to me?
Because, Lord, where you are.
Would you talk to me? Would you talk to me?
Lord, all through your word, every place that you showed us, every place you
would you talk to me, God? Would you talk to me, God? Would you talk to me, God? Oh, it's been 40 years. Moses had heard from God. 40 years.
You're still the Holy God.
God showed up.
Lord, your people.
I said, God showed up. Come on.
Lord, we need that.
40 years. I'm confident. If we'll stay and do our part, be persistent, God's gonna show up. Come on. I'm confident in that. We got Bible to teach us, tell us that if we'll be faithful, it'll show up. Oh God, and meet us in a holy place.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. Yeah.